Welcome to the Walt Weekly Podcast with your host, Walter Latham Sr., and co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs.
Hello, all. Welcome to the Walt Weekly Podcast. Today's guest, Tamiko White, founder of White Noise Consulting. She's a creative brand consultant, media personality, and writer. As an experienced brand builder, Tamiko has worked with an impressive list of clients over the past 25 years in front of the camera and behind the scenes to help everyone she works build a successful and profitable brand. Welcome to the Walt Weekly, Tamiko.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this interview. So I'm going to get started. Thank you, Walter. Yes, get the props. Thank you. So, Tamiko, where are you actually from and how did you get your career started?
Thank you. I am from New York. I was born in Manhattan in Chelsea. I was born actually in the Chelsea Projects. And then later, I moved to Lefrak City in Queens. And I went to high school in Washington, D.C. So I'm from New York. And then I went to high school in D.C. and I went to college at the University of Maryland in College Park. So I consider New York is definitely my home.
Yes.
But D.C. is a second home to me. And I lived in L.A. as well. So L.A. is a third home. So those are my three hometowns,
nice.
If I can say that.
Nice.
We used to live in Lefrak City. I don't know. Michelle, you remember when we used to live? I used to live in Lefrak City in the Columbia
Wait
building.
Wait a minute. I lived in Brazil. I lived in the Brazil building. You know Brazil
and Columbia
were right next to each other.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right there on Horace Harden Expressway.
Yes.
Small world, isn't it?
Yes, 9707 Horace Harden Expressway.
9715.
Look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that. Yes.
Small world, right?
It is. I love that.
Yeah, but I think I left That's long amazing. Before you, while you were still small, because I've been out here.
I love that.
But anyway.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
I digress. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That's all right. So how did you start your career in the fashion industry? What school did you attend in order to, you know, start that career and what you love?
My career is what I really consider my passion and my purpose. And I don't ever really feel like I started it. I feel like it chose me. So my mom talks about when I was 3 and 4 years old and I used to, she said I used to take her foil and like make jewelry and put it in a box top under my bed. And I used to tell her, this is for my fashion business. This is for my business. Nice. Don't touch this. This is for my business. I remember, as long as I can remember, always loving TV and always loving media and loving fashion. And that goes back to when I was like my earliest memories of really having a passion for storytelling through media. I was 5 or 6 years old. Going to the theater, The Wiz on Broadway had a huge impact. It had a huge impact on my love of storytelling and understanding how stories made people feel, how it resonated for them, and how it could change them in a moment or for a lifetime. And I couldn't articulate it then. I was young. Right. I just knew that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed art and dancing and modeling. So I was very early on communicating that as best I could to my family, right. My mom, who was a single mom, and my aunt, who was an artist and still an artist in that she loves the arts. She was actually a model for a short time. She was the first Black woman on the cover of Life magazine. And she really supported.
Incredible.
Yeah. So she supported my love of the arts. And with that exposure, I eventually carved out, right, what I love to do. I loved business. I loved being in front of the camera. And I loved making decisions about what the content and the story was going to be. And so I modeled a young, did a few commercials. I always did plays. And then when I got out of high school and wanted to go to college, I wanted to study actually the business of fashion and merchandising, et cetera,
right.
And did that. And then when I got out of college, I started modeling. I was a model with Wilhelmina and Wilhelmina Models back in the 90s. And loved it. But it was a different time then. And what I didn't right. love was always waiting to be picked. Right. So it was great to go on auditions and be in front of the camera. But then when I didn't get the job, I didn't like how I felt like I didn't have any input mm-hmm. over my career, what I wanted to do. So I, while I was modeling, always had a small business on the side, either consulting or working with brands that I actually was modeling for. I was usually very vocal around like the merchandising and the marketing and the branding. So in addition to being the model, I also added value because I started building relationships with buyers and like talking about, oh, it should be shot this way. And this is the story you should tell because the clothes make you feel like this. And I don't think I knew at the time that I was branding. It's called merchandising in the fashion industry, but I was helping them build their brand narrative. And that's how White Noise got started.
So, Tomiko, being a model in that industry, I know it was tough back in the 90s because I worked in fashion, which is where I actually met you at Grand Central Station. That was our first meetup. And I had no idea who you were. I did your hair. I still have a photo from that day. And when I found out who you were, I felt so proud that I was doing such a esteemed young lady at the time.
And oh, wow. Thank
the
you.
Industry. Yeah, it was such an amazing show doing
it. It was. That was really amazing. It was historic, definitely. I believe. And that definitely. was my first show with White Noise. That was incredible. My first fashion show right. that my brand produced when I opened my showroom / consulting firm.
And it was phenomenal.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know Meredith at the time that she was mm-hmm. producing that show. I just met Eugene, who was a lead hairstylist, and Matthew right. from there. And I'm still with Matthew to this day with fashion. So thank you for that show. Because that's, you know, I was working with another company, organization 707, but your show kind of taken me to another level with fashion.
Oh, I
so
love
thank
that.
You for that. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. And you, since then, you have been so successful and your career is outstanding. So can you tell us a little bit about your time at Fashion Institute of Technology? I went there as well. I took up apparel production management.
Mm.
So at that time, when I was there, I wasn't sure what I wanted. And look, later on in my life, that's what I'm in, that industry. So can you tell us a little bit about your time there being a professor?
Sure. Well, I was an adjunct professor in the career internship program, meaning I was a professor that worked with students that were taking or participating in their internships. So at FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology, experience is really important. And so they really drive home and support internships, especially in fashion, because most creative industries, you also need experience, right? It's not just book learning. So it's a very important part of their curriculum. And they inspire their students and advise them to start interning in your second year, unlike a lot of educational institutions where you have to be a senior, right? So you can do an internship as a sophomore or as a senior. What I taught was the branding, the self-branding and marketing part for seniors that were in internships. Because FIT, which is a SUNY school, State University of New York, requires that in addition to your internship, your educator should also provide you with classroom hours that teach you how to utilize the benefits of having an internship, communication, right? How to show up fully, branding and marketing yourself, how to then create a resume using the skills that you learned from your internship. And so really that's self-branding. So that was the course that I taught with students who were seniors taking an internship about to go into the real world. And it was a great opportunity because some of my students have now become huge designers at companies right. like Vera Wang, Alexander Wang. I have students that are at, so many different, not only fashion houses, but they've become designers themselves.
Incredible, incredible. So can you give me one of your most iconic memories in the fashion industry during your career of branding and building your business? I know you have many.
My most iconic was my book signing. When I wrote my first published book, Careers in the Fashion Industry, it was picked up, the process of me writing was picked up by the New York Times style section. So that was iconic. But then the very Sunday that it came out, I got a call from Diane von Furstenberg's team, and they offered to host my New York book signing at her location in the meatpacking in her flagship store. And that was my most iconic moment for me in the fashion industry. Now, I've experienced iconic moments with other people, but in terms of my brand and for me, that was the amount of support. It was wall-to-wall people that came out not only to support but congratulate me. And that was my most iconic moment to date.
Amazing. Amazing. So to our audience, you can actually get her book, Careers in the Fashion Industry, on Amazon.
Yeah.
So, and also most likely your website as well.
On my website.
So make sure you get
and
that.
Soon, I'll be taking that book to Johannesburg, South Africa, teaching some South African students about different careers in fashion. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that is awesome. You also have a quarterly read that you have called Trend Statements by Tamiko White. That's released quarterly, correct?
Yes, I'm actually
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. This is one of my more fun statements that I put out about the fashion industry. So trends are very important to fashion businesses. And unfortunately, a lot of times in the industry, and I found when a lot of entrepreneurs and creatives believe that trends keep them in a box, right? It limits them. It squashes their creativity. So they usually repel trends. I don't follow trends. I don't do trends. What I do is I not only look at what's happening in the fashion world in terms of trends, I look at social issues, cultural issues, art, politics, economics. I consider all that's happening in the world's landscape that influences the way consumers spend money. And I talk about that and help businesses take that information so that they can understand how their customer is spending money and then how to talk to them about their brand in a way that attracts them, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense. You also have another weekly, accessories or punctuations.
Yes. So I do a weekly accessory edit. I love accessories. And I was doing it for about 18 months in conjunction with the Accessories Council. And now I'm doing it independently, and I'm actually really, really want to grow that. So we have some really great ideas that we're going to do with the accessory edit. It got a lot of, really good response. So in Q2, we're going to bring that back because I paused it because I've been working on writing some other things. And we're going to bring that back in a big way. So stay tuned for that.
That's amazing. You have so many writings in your whole career. It's such a wide range of your writing. You have 20 ebooks out there. Wow.
Yeah, I've written 20 ebooks on or around branding, the business of fashion, how to tell your brand story. I have another ebook called Competition is Confirmation, which basically is a mindset shift, right? I talk to entrepreneurs and really people in general about how to shift their mind around competition. Don't look at it as an adverse situation and kind of embrace competition as confirmation that your personality, your skill sets, your talents, that there's a need for that. There's a demand for that. That's why there is another business doing it. And then I give you a framework, a method to take what was traditionally called a competitive analysis. I teach you how to make that a marketplace colleague analysis, meaning looking at what other brands that are doing, serving, or offering that are similar to what you're doing, and then amplify your differences. So that's Competition is Confirmation. I have another ebook called SOS, Serve Over Sell, because serving is greater than selling. And that's a sales strategy. Again, a mindset shift, right? That you're not selling your products. You're not selling your skills. You're serving with your art, your creativity, whatever your value is. And when you think about it that way, again, it takes the daunt out of selling and it helps you shift your mindset. So I have those kind of ebooks. I have Digital Marketing Now, How to Build a Successful Marketing Campaign. I have several ebooks that I've written that are all actually part of my Now Trending group, but I also have those ebooks on my website. I also have other things like 8 Successful Steps to Starting Your Fashion Business, things like that, because it's, I believe it's my purpose and my gift to share the experience that I have with, you know, with the future. You know, the access that I didn't have, you know, when it was a different time in the industry. Now I want to share that with others.
I appreciate that. And I'll definitely be contacting you offline because I've been struggling with my ebook for the past couple of months.
Oh, yeah.
I'm stumped. We'll talk about it. So, you know, we're going to continue with you, Queen. So your career, I mean, just outstanding. You have expertise in fashion and television and magazines. Can you tell us some of your experiences with that?
I love storytelling. So whether it's in front of the camera or behind the camera, but I love using accessories, clothing, art, music to tell stories. So I really come alive, whether it's on stage or in front of the camera. I just love I love that medium. Most recently, I did a vision board segment here in New York on NBC Live for New York Live, and that was so exciting because I really, again, got to share some of my knowledge with how to do and create vision boards and storyboards or mood boards. And I really enjoyed that. I also do style segments, like tabletop segments, best accessories. I've done that. Yeah, a couple other TV projects that I'm working
on. That's great. I know vision boards.
Michelle, I have a question. Yes, D'Amico. Could you just give us an idea? Let's say we got a person down in the South, because, you know, we do reach, you know, North Carolina and southern parts of the country. And you have a young lady that wants to get into the fashion industry, or she started, but she wants to grow. I mean, what do you look for, or what is the criteria wherein a customer would approach you, or, you know, a person would approach you? What would you look at?
Essentially, I can work or I can advise, consult pretty much everyone in every stage, from conceptual, from people that like, I want to be in fashion, but I don't know what I want to do, to people that have had businesses and they're like, okay, I'm ready to scale. So if you're just getting started or you know you want to be in fashion, but you don't know what to do, the first thing is assessing what your skill sets are, and then your passions. Because for so long, we looked at careers or jobs based on, well, what can I do? Okay, I can do that. That's my job. I always advise that not only look at what you can do, look at what you like to do, and also look at what you don't like to do.
Right.
And when you have that assessment, then we can figure out, okay, so these are the careers that we can match with your skill sets and your passions. That's actually why I wrote Careers in the Fashion Industry, because I wanted to give people an asset, a guide to match their passions with actual careers. Because you can love fashion and you can love taking photos, but not necessarily want to be a model. What else can you do? Right? You can love, you can be a designer that's like, I love design, but I don't want to be an entrepreneur. Right. And then so it's great to know, you know what, I can be an in-house designer. Right. I can help. I can consult designers. Right. I can be a freelance designer. I have friends that design for some of the biggest brands and household names, but they're freelance. They go in, they present their designs with this brand based on their aesthetic. And then they do that for two or three brands. They're not household names. right? But they still get to use their passion for design. And so it's important to understand and know what you like to do, what you can do, what you're passionate about, and then match that to the different jobs in the fashion industry. And there are so many. It's more than just being a designer or a stylist or a buyer.
Right, right, right. And that's great because, you know, that industry, it ranges so far from being a hairstylist, makeup artist, stylist to fashion designer. I mean, there's so many aspects of that industry that you really need to know all of it, really, especially being a model, you know, and with your struggle in it. And I would like to ask you questions about your struggle during the 90s, because I know now you have more Black models on the runway than you did before. Mm-hmm. And I know there was a big issue about that too. And also doing our hair, you know, mm-hmm. ethnic hair mm-hmm. was also a struggle. So, you know, how do you feel about it now? Do you see a major change, or do they still have a lot of work to do?
Well, there's definitely a change, and we're seeing a lot more diversity, and not just in melanin and skin, in the hue of your skin color. We're also seeing it in size.
Right.
We're seeing it in terms of what used to be called just disabilities. Now we're seeing models with prosthetics. So there's a wide variety of imagery that we're seeing that represents clothing and fashion now. So that that is beautiful. Speak to your point, for me, my challenge on the set was twofold. It was makeup and hair. And my hair is naturally curly. And that used to be a big deal because, you know, back in the 90s, you had the model that had naturally curly hair, right? So she was, you know, the naturally curly, or she had really bone straight
hair. Right.
And for me, what my issue was, I always kept mine straight because curly, they, you know, they really couldn't tame it. Because remember, the whole look back then was also everything had to look really coiffed and neat. Yes. And so straight hair. So my issue was the damaging from the perming, and because even though I could blow it out and keep it straight, it couldn't stay straight on set, right? So right, the perming, right. So everyone has, like, you know, those stories. My issue also and challenge was also makeup, because I have full lips and cheekbones. And so often I didn't have makeup artists that really knew how to line my lips to make them even look decent. I would look at the photos, and we didn't have digital, remember? So the photos you got on a contact sheet 2 weeks later,
right?
You know? Right. And so it was like, okay, well, this makeup is off. Also, I would get sometimes the makeup would be so strong, I would look like a drag queen.
Or coffin ready.
Right. And there, right. And there were times that look worked, but if you weren't doing editorial and you were shooting a commercial shot or doing a beauty shot, that makeup didn't work. Right. The lighting didn't work. The other thing was lighting. Right. Please light me properly.
Right. Right.
Please light me properly.
Makes a big difference. Yeah.
Lighting is all the things. Mm-hmm. If I had to choose on a set, hair, makeup, or lighting, I would choose lighting first. Stick my hair back in a bun and put on some lip gloss.
That's for sure.
Lighting, thank you. Yeah. Lighting is all the things. And that was another thing. Just light me right. Can you please show me some love and light me right? So those are the challenges that I found from modeling. And it was hard. It was very discouraging, frustrating.
Definitely.
It was challenging.
Yeah, definitely. So your career, your esteemed career, vision boarding, white noise consulting, marketing, storytelling, business of fashion. Now you are an all-star mentor.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
One of my clients I work with is a legendary stylist. Her name is Misa Hilton, and she is responsible for many, many iconic looks of the 90s, basically defining what fashion and music and hip hop of the 90s was and is still influencing culture and fashion and hip hop and style today. And I've been working with her for almost 2 years now, a little over 2 years, working with her brand. We work on special projects together. Also, she has a fashion academy, which is a nonprofit academy where she teaches styling and fashion tech, basically life skills, to help Black and Brown creatives really have the foundation that they need to build long careers, to have longevity in the styling glam industry. And at the academy, which is also my client, I am the brand and marketing director. But additionally, she's partnered with a company called PVH. I know this is a long answer, but just bear with me.
No, it's fine.
So PVH is the parent company of Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, et cetera. And they partnered together for the next 3 years with a $10 million global initiative to create access and information to creatives of color. So this mentorship program is happening in Asia, Africa, Kenya, I believe, Brazil, the United States, Amsterdam, I believe also Canada. And in addition to the National Urban League here in the United States, the Lisa Hilton Fashion Academy was chosen out of many, many applicants to partner with them on this mentorship program. So under this mentorship program, Ms. Hilton handpicked actually 15, I believe, mentors to mentor fashion creatives in four cities, DC, New Jersey, New York, and Philly. And these are the all-star mentors. And I am one of them. I'm honored. And I am in amazing company. I am in amazing company. We have the president of the CFDA. We have Emil Wilbekin, who also from the 90s, he was an editor at Vibe. I mean, his editorial resume is stellar. It's a group of esteemed fashion industry professionals. And right. It is my honor to be a part of this group.
That's amazing. I remember when CFDA started, I was doing backstage work for them. And I saw the
struggle. What does CFDA stand for?
The CFDA is the Council of Fashion Designers of America.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And it's basically an organization. Yes, mm-hmm. And it's an organization that supports designers. They do awards, they do networking opportunities, and they've been around to help a lot of designers. Again, another challenge is that there hadn't been a lot of Black designers being accepted because you have to be invited into the CFDA.
Exactly, right.
And so yet another challenge that was brought to light was that the CFDA didn't have a lot of African-American, BIPOC designers. So
right. And giving them also a platform to bring their designs because they weren't allowed at the time. Mercedes-Benz, you know, Brian Park, Mercedes-Benz, they couldn't afford it. Yeah,
and they also, because they run Fashion Week, they're very powerful. Right. It's a very powerful organization. It's a trade organization. I mentioned before that my accessory edit was with the Accessory Council, right? That's like the CFDA of accessories, meaning it's the trade organization that is the nucleus, right? To really get business that monitors the business that happens in that industry. So the CFDA is really powerful. They create the fashion calendar.
Right.
They say when, you know, so they say when shows will happen. They, you know, get to don the next king and queen of fashion in terms of a brand, right? They get to take their scepter and say, you know, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car.
Exactly.
So they're very powerful. Yeah. And so it was it's very important for an organization like that to really pay attention to designers, the Black and Brown designers. And they hadn't, but they are now. So we're working on that.
They've come a long way, yes. Mm-hmm. They've been out for a few years, and now they're really escalating to a high. I remember, Tamiko, I hadn't seen you in a while, but I did see you in September last Fashion Week at the Emerge Fashion Show, and the president of CFDA was there as well.
Cassandra Diggs.
Correct?
Cassandra Diggs. And she's also a mentor in this mentorship program.
Oh, that's amazing.
And now someone I get to call a personal friend. And she's amazing. She is, you know, accessible and down to earth and like wants to hear what you have to say. Right. You know, also Sharifa Murdoch is a mentor, and her another stellar career. She was at she started Liberty Fairs, which was a trade show for urban and denim. Then she also has Envision Festival. She's now the chief cultural officer, the CCO at Kith. Mm-hmm. Which, wow. Sidebar, circling back to careers in the fashion industry, that's now right. A career, being a chief cultural officer in a fashion company, meaning you are the guard, making sure that your fashion brand that you're working for, the business that you are working with, is culturally sensitive, culturally relevant, and also being aware of how culture is influencing your actual customer. That's a new job in the fashion industry.
Right, it is.
Right?
It is.
So, and so but back to the mentors, that's what Sharifa does. And, you know, so it's really great to see all this new energy around fashion.
Yes, it is. It really is. And, you know, it was an honor to see you last season.
Same. Thank you.
I was actually a guest instead of working backstage, and it felt good.
I bet. I know. Yes, I know people. What that feels like. Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for introducing me to Miss Hilton, because she was definitely someone I looked up to and admired her work for bringing in so many artists in the industry at the time in the 90s. She, you know, with the hair industry, makeup, she had so many black and brown artists on sets. She brought a lot of people out, along with, you know, establishing her own career.
Yes.
She brought out a lot of people because Eugene Davis, he did the hair for Kim, Little Kim's famous videos with the colored hair.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that and crush on you?
Yeah. He did a lot of her hair for a lot of her video sets. And it was such an honor to meet him at your first event that we had at Grand Central Station, because he was iconic. He's iconic in the industry, Eugene.
Yes, he is. Yes, he
and is. And I was just an honor to meet him, to work with him, and then to see you with Miss Hilton is also an honor to see, you know, all your
the full circle.
People.
Yeah, full circle.
It's a full
moment.
Circle business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for that introduction, because I was shy. I'm usually like aggressive with people meeting them, but I was like, no, I was intimidated. I was like, oh my God. And then I saw you. I was like, oh my God, Tamiko. You know, it was just such a great pleasure to see you and to see how your growth is.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just an amazing career.
I appreciate that, because it's not always easy. I do want to also speak to that. You know, to hear what you're saying is really not only I'm thankful for it, it's also fuel. It's fuel to keep going, because sometimes you need that, right? In being an entrepreneur in and of itself, there's a large amount of self-motivation. There's a lot of working alone, right? There's a lot of ideation, execution, but there are a lot of moments that you spend alone, especially as a creative. And so it's always welcomed when I hear you say, you know, it inspired you, or you were inspired by this. So I thank you for that. But also, I also want to speak to that. It's not always easy, right? It's not always the big events and the shiny, you know, the shiny jewelry and the dresses. A lot of it is admin, right? A lot of it is relationship building. A lot of it is problem solving. Right? A lot of it is creativity, in the sense that, yes, you are looking for solutions. How do I present this? And then also, again, ideation, right? What am I creating next? And, you know, and some of it is just business, right? Some of it's finance, it's bootstrapping, it's getting grants, it's business, it's keeping your operations running. So it's all the things. And so, to have a career this long, I'm very grateful. And honestly, I'm grateful to God, who has sustained me in every single one of the areas that I just stated, which is why I'm still here.
Great. Fantastic. Tamiko, this is Walter. I mean, you and Michelle were gone. You're way over my head. Okay. So How would people contact you? I know you have your website, which we will document in the show notes of the show. Is there any other communication links that you could provide for us? And would you want to do one on the air, even though we will back it up with the show notes?
Yes, absolutely. So people can follow me on Instagram at Tamiko White. They can also follow my business for business tips and fashion information. That's at White Noise Showroom. However, it's at White Noise SHWRM. And mm-hmm. they can also, if they have questions or are interested in any of my eBooks or Now Trending, which is a community that I created. It's course plus community. So it's a course with all the branding tools I talked about previously. And then it's also a private community that supports entrepreneurs. So if they're interested in Now Trending, we actually are launching our next cohort. This is a plug. Our next cohort starts February 7th. So if they're interested in that community, if they have a business, if they're starting a business, they want to scale their business, Now Trending is for them. They can email me at info@tamikowhite.com.
Okay.
And then my website is tamikowhite.com. So that's www.tamikowhite.com.
All righty.
Great.
Okay.
Tamiko, this was all so right.
I don't have any further questions. I mean, I'm overwhelmed myself, but then again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't want to overwhelm you. Don't be overwhelmed.
Well, I mean, it's because of the subject matter. I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. that well-versed in fashion. So, you know, that's where I'm having, you know.
That's but where we compliment each other.
But I am in awe of what y'all guys are doing. I appreciate what you guys are doing. Don't get me
Thank
wrong.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a real business. You
it
know,
it's
a
is.
It's a real beauty, fashion, lifestyle. We are a real business out here in these streets. So
Definitely. Yeah. It's our time to shine. Our community
yes, it is.
To shine.
Yes, it
time
is.
To shine. We've always been there, but we've always been behind the scenes,
yes.
not getting the credit.
Yes.
And you have put your, you know, made your mark on the industry for so long. And, you know, you are definitely enjoying the fruits of your labor right now.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you. I look up
thank
to you.
You.
You're my Shiro.
You. Oh, thank you.
And I will definitely keep in touch with you outside
Please.
Of this. And
Please.
Thank you for your private message for that package I sent you. I appreciate
Listen,
that.
Can we talk about the soap? Can we talk about the soap?
Talk about it.